As I continue to preach through the book of Proverbs, again, we're not going to look at every chapter, every verse, but we're going to look at some highlights, some themes. And as a book of wisdom, there are many practical issues that Solomon deals with. Practical issues that he felt his sons needed to know and be aware of, and we today need to know and be aware of. However, anytime you're dealing with practical issues of wisdom, we're going to have our toes stepped on from time to time. Right, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. And I'll be honest, it steps on my toes too. So as we work through these issues, as we work through this wisdom that Solomon has to share, please understand that I'm not coming from the point of perfection where I have mastered all of these things myself. We are working through these things together as a congregation. And today's topic is another one that can be a little challenging. And a man called the police and reported that his wife's credit cards had been stolen. Then he added, "But don't look too hard, because he's charging less than my wife ever did on those credit cards." Credit cards, debt. That is one of those topics that tends to bring up a little bit of tension, does it not? Debt is a major issue in our country today. Not just at the household level, not just at the individual level, but also at the federal government level. Our government has acquired, and it's probably gone up since the statistic, has acquired $36.2 trillion in debt. $36.2 trillion in debt. We live in a society that is addicted to debt. And this has left many households across our country and left our country in a very vulnerable position, has placed many of us as individuals, as families, as a country, as a society, in jeopardy. And I don't preach this message as someone that does not have any debt. This is something that my wife and I are working through ourselves, trying to apply biblical principles to our finances. We incurred some debt in having to leave the Dominican Republic a little more abruptly than we planned, having a house there that hasn't been sold, and we've had to continue paying that mortgage over the last 2 years. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes we end up with some debt, and that may be your situation as well. So how do we respond? How do we deal with life when it comes to our finances? Solomon gives us wise advice that we need to put into practice. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 11 to 10, Solomon encourages us to be money wise. He's talking about money. He's talking about finances. He's talking about things that will affect us financially as individuals, as families, as a society, as a country. So before we go into the message, would you stand with me, please, as we read this passage? Would you stand to your feet in respect to God's word, and then we'll pray, and then I'll go into my message. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. It says, "My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself, plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider your ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her foods in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to the sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we are confronted with your word. We're confronted with your wisdom, because what Solomon is sharing here is not just his words, it's not just his wisdom, it is revealed and inspired by you. This is your wisdom. And so I pray, Lord, that this morning each and every one of us would be able to apply these principles to our own lives. Whatever our relationship may be with money and with debt and with finances, Lord, that you would speak to us and that you would help us to look at our individual situation, our situation as a society, as a culture, and be able to apply these principles that you have set before us. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Solomon begins by telling his son and us today, beware of debt. Beware of debt. Now, this particular passage deals with one specific type of debt that we will go into a little later. But as we look at the rest of the book of Proverbs, this is a topic that Solomon brings up over and over and over again. This is a topic that Solomon deals with quite deeply and profoundly throughout Proverbs. We also see other authors in Scripture that deal with this topic. So in general, the wisdom that Solomon and others are giving us is to be cautious about acquiring debt. It's a general principle that we see in Scripture. God's Word warns us about the dangers of debt. And I think all of us have experienced either personally or observed in the life of others how dangerous it can be, how destructive it can be. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, Solomon says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant of the lender." When we borrow money from someone, they have leverage over us. They have power over us. And sometimes that can be a dangerous position to be in. We give over a certain amount of control of our lives, of our finances, to the person that we borrowed from. When we make a commitment with a mortgage or a car payment or a credit card payment or whatever it may be, I've got to pay this amount of money that I owe every single month. Now that part of your finances is controlled by somebody else, not you. So there is a level of control that we give up when we allow ourselves to be indebted to others. Either an individual, an institution, a bank, there's always a price to pay. It will always keep us in that situation where those choices that we made, those debts that we have, will control us. Therefore, the decision to borrow should never be taken lightly. Should never be taken lightly. And that is the danger with these plastic cards that we carry around in our wallets and in our purses. because we can rack up a whole lot of debt in a short period of time without having to think much, right? I mean, you don't even have to slide it in anywhere anymore. You don't even have to remove it from your wallet anymore. You don't even need the plastic card anymore. You can do it with your phone. That it's become so simple, so easy. And so our society has given us this perspective of, I can just accumulate debt quickly and easily and not even think about how am I going to pay that back. And it's so easy for us to fall into this trap. And so that scripture, Solomon, and in other places, warns us to be aware, to be careful, to think about the consequences, to think about how we will pay this back, how this will enslave us, how this will affect us. And this is the reason that the Apostle Paul encouraged the Roman Christians to avoid financial indebtedness. In Romans chapter 13, verse 8, says, "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law." Now, I do not believe that this is a blanket statement against all debt. I don't believe that Scripture teaches that all debt is bad. But Paul here is encouraging us, if we are able to live without debt. Why do I say that this isn't a blanket statement for all debt? Because throughout Scripture, there are certain requirements that Scripture gives us so that if we lend money to a fellow believer, to a brother or a sister, that we should not take advantage of them, that we should not be getting interest off of them, etc. So there are places in Scripture where it talks about debt to one another, that it talks about lending or giving or being generous. But one thing we know for sure is if we borrow money and make arrangements to pay that money back, we need to make sure that we meet those obligations. If we are indebted to a bank, if we are indebted to an individual, if we are indebted to whoever it may be, whatever institution it may be, when we take on the responsibility of that debt, we need to make sure that we are being faithful in paying that debt. When we fall behind on debt, we now not only owe the lender for the money that we borrowed, but we now owe them for all of the payments that we've missed. And so the wisdom that we're getting from Solomon here and the wisdom that I believe that we're getting from the Apostle Paul is, it's better to avoid it. It's better to not go there. Because when we have debt, and especially when we fall behind on that debt, we are now defrauding the person that lent us the money. Getting into unnecessary financial debt is never a good idea. However, Solomon in verses 1 through 5 is talking about a different responsibility to debt that I believe is even worse. Even worse than getting into our own financial debt for our own house, our own vehicle, our own credit cards, etc. What is that other debt that Solomon is referring to in verses 1 through 5? It is getting into debt over someone else's affairs. Do not make yourself liable for someone else's debt. It's bad enough when you make yourself liable for your own debt. But Solomon says, do not make yourself liable for someone else's debt. Let's go to verses 1 through 5 again. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you become surety to your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself, plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Solomon here is saying, do not. The word surety means to make yourself responsible for someone else's debt. In other words, cosign. This is especially dangerous when we're talking about unsecured debt. And normally, when somebody needs someone else to cosign or to be responsible for a debt that they are taking on, most of the time we're talking about unsecured debt, right? If there was something to secure that debt, they probably wouldn't need a cosigner. And so Solomon here is saying, if you cosign, if you become surety for someone else, for someone else's debt, that puts you in a very dangerous and vulnerable situation. If you cosign for someone or on unsecured debt, there is nothing for the lender to take back in order to recover that debt, and you will be left holding the bag for that person. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 15 says, "He who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure." Is Solomon here telling us that we should be stingy? That we shouldn't help others in need? What is Solomon telling us here? Solomon is saying, you will be a slave to a lender for debt that wasn't even yours to start with. Don't make yourself responsible for someone else's debt. Debt in general, Solomon says, is not a good thing. Don't get into your own debt, but even less should you make yourself responsible for someone else's. As Christians, it is important to have a good balance between generosity and stewardship. Because I refuse to become a cosigner or surety for someone else does not mean that I'm not generous. Does not mean that I don't want to help that person. Does not mean that there may not be other ways that I could help them in that situation in which they find themselves. But becoming a cosigner or taking on the liability of someone else's debt, Solomon here is saying, is not a wise stewardship practice, because it puts our finances, which we are to be careful stewards of, in jeopardy because of somebody else. If you have the means to help and the person truly has a need, consider helping the individual with a gift. Or consider lending them the money yourself without interest. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given." If you want to help somebody in that situation and you're able to do it, basically what Solomon is saying here in Proverbs 19:17, lend to the Lord. Help them. Give them of your own money and trust the Lord to pay you back if they can't. But don't make yourself responsible for your debt. That's what Solomon is saying here. I would rather lend to God and have him repay me than to owe someone else money for another person's debt. And I know there are probably individuals here this morning that may be in that situation right now where they are responsible for someone else's debt. Hopefully that person is following through on their responsibilities to pay. Maybe they're not. But Solomon says that it is a very dangerous and precarious situation for ourselves to put to for us to put ourselves in, and therefore we should avoid it. Unsecured loans to someone who cannot qualify on their own usually carry very high interest rates, do they not? And the last thing that you want to end up doing is spending money on high interest payments on debt that wasn't even yours to start with. If you're already tied to someone else's debt, if you've already made yourself responsible for someone else's debt, Solomon recommends doing whatever you can to get out from under that responsibility as quickly as possible. That's what he's telling his son in verses 4 through 5. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter and like a bird from the hand of a fowler. Help this individual. Help them find better options. Teach them how to be more financially responsible. Maybe encourage and pay for them to go through a Financial Peace University class. Maybe help them with their budgeting. Sit down with them. Help them. Maybe help them rebuild their credit score so that they can refinance that debt and take you off of it. But Solomon is saying, if you find yourself in this situation where you are responsible for someone else's debt, as quickly as you can, find a way to help that person so that you can be taken off of that responsibility. There are many ways that you can help that don't involve taking on the liability of someone else's debt. Often, but not always. So I want to be careful here because there are many reasons why people find themselves in these types of situations, and sometimes it's not their own fault. And sometimes it's not because of something that they did, and maybe it's not because of their lack of responsibility. We find ourselves sometimes in tragic situations. However, often individuals find themselves in these precarious financial situations because of poor work ethic. And I don't think there's any coincidence in that Solomon then transitions to this next point after he talks about not taking on other people's debt. What is his next point? Beware of laziness. Beware of laziness. Verses 6 through 11, if you'd follow with me. Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her foods in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Solomon says in verses 6 through 8 that diligent work will pay off. He gives the example of the ants. Now, nobody likes to find ants in their kitchen, right? We don't like that. But have you ever observed the ants? Solomon did. It is amazing what they do. They're hard workers. They provide for themselves and their colony. They work hard. And these verses give the implication that the sluggard is resting when he ought to be working. And it says to the sluggard, look at the ant. Watch the ant. Follow the example of the ant. From talking to many employers over the years, not just here in the U.S., but also in the Dominican Republic, there appears to be a large number of sluggards entering the workforce these days. They require constant supervision. They take no initiative. They have no work ethic. Part of that, I believe, we, as parents and as a society, have ingrained that in them. We've made things too easy for them. We've allowed them to get away with not having to have that work ethic, that responsibility. But in contrast, the ant, with no supervisor, works diligently and stores food for the winter. The ant doesn't have anybody saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. The ant takes initiative. And Solomon says, watch the ant, follow the ant, do what the ant does. Be a good worker, work diligently, be responsible, store for the future. The ant is an example of someone who is responsible, someone who is motivated, and someone who has good work ethic. And this type of person will succeed and will probably be the first to receive a promotion. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4 says, "The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich." God promises to bless those who are diligent. Again, I'm going to be very careful here. As I've said in the past, every time that it talks about God's blessing, it doesn't necessarily mean financial. But God does say in his word, and there is a principle that if we work diligently, that we are faithful, if we do what we are supposed to do, that God will bless us. And in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." When we are diligent in our work, in our secular work, in our responsibilities as providers in our household, God will bless us. But here in 1 Corinthians, he goes even further and says, when we are diligent in his work, in serving him. So he's not only telling us to be diligent and to be faithful and to be responsible and to be proactive in our secular work, he also says that we should be doing the same in the ministry, in the ministry of our local church. And what does he say? When we are like the ant, when we are proactive, when we don't need somebody to be standing over us and telling us what to do and telling us to move here and to move there, but we are proactive, we're responsible, we're engaged, we're involved, he says that he will bless us. Our labor will not be in vain. There will be a reward. Will all of the rewards be on this earth? Probably not, but there will be a reward. And I'll tell you one thing, any reward that we can get here on this earth pales in comparison with the rewards we will get in heaven. So if you're not getting your reward here, thank the Lord, because it's going to be much greater when you receive it in heaven. Just as diligence has its reward, so does laziness. What is the reward of laziness? Laziness will lead to financial ruin. Verses 9 through 11. "How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." Solomon says that poverty will come upon those who are lazy and refuse to work diligently. I think we see that in our society today, do we not? The Apostle Paul took it one step further and said that we should not enable people to be lazy sluggards. We should not enable this. What did the Apostle Paul say? And this is really harsh. This is really harsh what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 3:10. "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." Now, I don't think the Apostle Paul here is promoting allowing people to starve to death. But he does say there is a value in them feeling some hunger. There is value in them reaping the rewards of their laziness. Laziness should not be rewarded. People should have to feel the consequences of their choices. Unfortunately, our society has enabled and even encouraged laziness for many years. Though a financial safety net is good for those who are in true need, who either physically or mentally or in some cases emotionally are not able to work, it's good to have a safety net. But every single one of us, I'm sure, will agree that that safety net has been abused by many for many, many years. For generations. Generations of families where not a single person has ever worked. This is what Solomon and this is what the Apostle Paul are referring to. We need to encourage responsibility. We need to encourage a strong work ethic. We need to encourage people to do what they can to supply their own needs. And we are seeing generations of families who have never worked a day in their lives demanding, not just asking, demanding that others supply and meet their needs. In the long run, we are doing them more harm than good. In the long run, we are harming our society. In the long run, we are racking up our debt as a nation that now exceeds $36 trillion. We are enabling and encouraging them to be lazy. We are enabling them and encouraging them to be sluggards. We are enabling and encouraging them to sit back and let others work to provide for their needs. And we are aiding in the financial destruction of our country in the process. If we want to avoid total and complete financial ruin as individuals, as families, and as a nation, we would do well to listen to Solomon's advice. We need to avoid unnecessary debt, especially when it's not even to pay for our own needs, when it's someone else's debt. And we need to stop being lazy and learn, like the ant, to work diligently. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, your word has challenged us, has challenged me. Your word is not always easy. Your word is meant to reprove and to correct and instruct. And I pray, Lord, that we would allow it to do that, that we would allow it to have that impact. Thank you for this wisdom that Solomon shares with his sons and with us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to put it in practice as individuals, as families, as a church, and even as a nation. Because I think in all areas, we would be wise to take this advice. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.